بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن وعلى نوين التعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاع والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضاته وقربه وثوابه سبحانه وتعالى وما علمه الله من صالح النيات. نسأل الله أن يجعلنا من العلماء العاملين الفائزين بعلم اليقين وعين اليقين وحق اليقين ويرزقنا كمال المتابعة لسيد المرسلين. We just wanted to begin by thanking that Murat Abi and Sister Zainab for opening up what I guess you consider to be an extension of their home and to facilitate this for us and to be in such a beautiful location. We didn't feel like yesterday that we were in Albertus. We felt like we were on like a camping trip or somewhere else in some retreat site. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So, alhamdulillah. Today, inshaAllah, we're going to get right down into the book. And that to recap is that the title of the book that we are reading is Fathu Basair al-Ikhwan, which literally means opening the inner sight of our brothers. Sharhu Dawa'ir al-Islami wal-Imani wal-Ihsani wal-Irfan. And this is a commentary or an explanation on the spheres of Islam, Iman, Ihsan, and Irfan. Now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to realize all of these bi'idhnillahi ta'ala from the blessing of reading this book in this blessed month of Ramadan. This is a month that there is a constant divine outpour of mercy. And it is not far-fetched. Allah is Qadir ala kulli shay', that every single one of these words that we read, every single one of these phrases that we read, every sentence, every paragraph, every page, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a reality within us, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And it's always at the beginning of every session, remind ourselves of the importance of having an intention, and not just any intention, a strong intention, is that we're doing this for Allah and from the secret of the heart of the author whereby which that these words emanated from. And there's no doubt is that the Nuraniya still remains, and there's tajaddud, and there's a renewal of the radiance of those meanings of light that emanated from this heart that was filled with light, so that you and I, that 300 plus years later, roughly, can get our nasib and our portion. And what a great blessing. And this is one of the things that we will see, is that how he presents the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way that the meanings continue to renew generation after generation, year after year. So, if you're looking on in the translation, is that we will start on page 16. So he starts by saying Alhamdulillah, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi al-Wahid al-Mannan al-Azim al-Ihsan al-Mutafaddiri bil-Lutfi wal-Tawfiqi lil-Islami wal-Imani wal-Ihsani wal-Irfani wal-Irshadi wal-Bayan. So he begins as that all books of great scholars do begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And you could go into a lot of details about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And in fact, that all of the meanings of the Quran, the ulama say, that are contained in the Fatiha. And all of the meanings of the Fatiha are contained in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And all of the meanings of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim are contained in the first dot of the ba', what's called the nuqtat al-ba'. And it is here that the scholars of the inner sciences that go into that beautiful detail about how that relates to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the dot on the ba' is not the dot underneath the ba'. It's the first dot where you start the bat. So you start the above the line and you draw it like this, and then when you're done, you put a dot underneath. That's not the dot. And in fact, that letters at one point didn't even have dots underneath. The dot that is being referred to is the first dot that starts the bat. And that it's that not in vain is that that bat is the second letter in the Arabic alphabet, which indicates that something about the reality of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how ultimately everything in creation has been created from his light. And this is not a belief that if someone doesn't believe that, that they will be taken outside the fold of Islam, but the scholars who know and point to this reality. So Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And there are so many different that things in our deen that we're encouraged to begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And there are multiple narrations of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that state kullu amrin dhi balin, every affair of importance, la yabda'u bihi bi bismillahir rahmanir rahim fa huwa aqta aw huwa ajdam aw huwa adhnab. Different narrations is that all of them will be cut off from blessing is really what it means. So every affair of importance that doesn't begin with bismillahir rahmanir rahim, it will be devoid of blessing. And in one narration it will be cut off, in another narration it will be like an animal that's tailless, in another narration it will be like someone who has leprosy, all indicating deficiencies. And in here, being deficient and devoid of blessing. And that the ba here, the scholars talk a lot about it in relation to what it means in the Arabic language. And many of them say it's the ba al-isti'ana. Okay, which means is that the ba that's used for seeking the assistance of someone or something in something. And so here it's as if you're saying, when you say Bismillah, is that I'm seeking the assistance of the name of Allah. And that others that get point to different meanings, but essentially what we're doing is that we're recognizing that everything begins with Allah and returns to Him, and we're invoking His name before everything that is that we do, and we want to accustom ourselves to anything that we do, we begin with Bismillah, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. We begin in the name of Allah, and so that there's blessing in that thing, and that there's something that happens as soon as we say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Whether that can be detected in the world through science or not, that's something else. There are indications that when you that utter these blessed words, is that it's etched into different aspects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. I have a book, and you can watch it, and some people say that it's not true science. Allahu a'lam. But a man from Japan that studied crystals, and when he would that say negative messages to the water and then freeze it, that the crystals would all be deformed. And when he'd say positive messages, that they would be in nice shape. And then that we can then think about what would happen then if you recite the Quran, what would happen if you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whether or not that can be scientifically detected or not is another matter. We know that it's true, is that there's blessing in the intangible unseen realm when you begin something with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And so every affair of importance, we should always begin with Bismillah. And that the ulama say is that that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim relates to all different five categories of the Sharia, but it relates to the category in a specific way. So to do something that is an obligation to do is recommended to say Bismillah. To do something that's recommended to do is recommended to say Bismillah. A permissible thing, it's permissible to say Bismillah. But that if it's something that you can accompany a righteous intention to, that it becomes recommended. But if something's makruh, you don't say Bismillah when you're about to do something makruh. And if someone were going to do something haram, to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to do something haram is also haram. So that you don't use the basmala for makruh or haram acts. You restrict it to what is permissible, and then that what is recommended and what is an obligation, unless there has come something in the Sharia that indicates there's another way you begin. like the khutbah. The khutbah, it's not recommended to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You begin with Alhamdulillah, out of mutaba'ah, because that's what our Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are narrations that indicate is that our Prophet would repeat the Basmalah over and over. There's a narration that indicates that he repeated the Basmalah 20 times. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And among the wisdoms that the ulama would point to is that the meanings that the Prophet ﷺ was experiencing every time it was that he said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And that should be a word that is that very familiar to us, and that a word that is on our tongues often. And that there are so many different things. Every time that we eat, every time we wear clothes, when we enter that into our homes, that before you start cooking, before you start eating, all of these different scenarios, there will be blessing when we begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So that every work that in that has been written by the ulama, they always begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And also, because this is how the Quran begins, and they want to follow the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then he follows it up by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. After acknowledging the name of Allah and that He is the most merciful and that He is the most compassionate, the next thing that is befitting for a believer is to praise Allah, because we realize this existence would not be here were it not to be for Bismillah. Were Allah Ta'ala not to have willed this existence into existence, you and I would not be here. And that we have to recognize is that Alhamdulillah, all praise be is due to Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then he starts to mention some of the names of Allah Jalla Jalalu, specifically that relate to the giving of gifts. So he says here, all praise be to Allah, the unique, the benevolent, the tremendously beneficent, the bestower of gentleness, and the one who enables those who he wishes to attain Islam, submission, Iman, faith, Ihsan, excellence, Irfan, gnosis, Irshad, guidance, and Bayan, clarification. So I said I was committed to breaking this down word by word, so we'll do so. So, Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah. And you've probably heard commentary on Alhamdulillah, so we won't go into too much detail there. Other than to say that one of the main meanings is that we are singling Him out for praise, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recognizing that all blessings ultimately are from Him. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةً فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. There is no blessing that you have except that it is from Allah. And then the first, that description, not, that He gives to Himself, to His Lord is Al-Wahid. And Allah Ta'ala has that a number of names that point to His oneness. So you have Al-Ahad, Al-Wahid, and you have Al-Fard. But here Al-Wahid is probably translated as the unique. And that it's interesting that He uses this name here, because the rest of the names that come after relate to gifts and giving gifts. And so that it's as if that the author here wants us to that recognize is that Allah is one, and He's unique. And even though that in the realm of the means, different people might give us different things, but Allah is really the only unique giver. Only He gives in reality. Everything is from Allah. And that His first name is Al-Mannan. So, Abdul Mannan, this is, we're going to be speaking about your name that we allow here. But the name of Allah is Al-Mannan. And he translates it here as the benevolent. And what man is in Arabic, manna yumunnu, is to that give someone a gift, is to do someone a favor, to do something nice for someone. And this is ultimately from Allah, that in a that you could say in a positive sense in Arabic, that such and such a person, lahu mannun kabir alayya. Right, that I am really indebted to that person is how you'd probably translate that, because that person has done so many nice things for me. But then you have that men, which is it has a negative context for creation. And this is when it translates as reminding someone of what you've done for them. So to remind someone of what you've done for them is actually a sin. It's actually sinful, and it nullifies the reward that you receive for doing the act. So we're not supposed to remind people of the charity or the things that we do for them. Nor are we supposed to keep tally. And that, oh, you do this for me, okay, so I'm going to do this for you. Or you, no, the awliya give freely. And the way that the awliya are, is that no matter what it is that they do for people, and no matter how great, and no matter how much that thing was, no matter how much they actually sacrificed, is that they consider what they did to be nothing, to be completely insignificant. And the way that they receive what people did for them, though, is the opposite. Anyone that did even the smallest thing for them, is that they consider it to be the greatest of all things. Whereas usually we're the opposite. Usually we consider what we did to be that great, and what other people did is, right, to be insignificant. This is what we want to inculcate within ourselves. And this is very real, and this plays out in community, that in many different ways, that a lot of problems in community arise because of this. Is it, doesn't this person know that I've done this for them? Don't they know how many times that I've done this? Don't they have any idea that what I did to all of these types of things? And then vice versa. Whereas that if we appreciate even the smallest of things and we don't see anything that we've done as that really significant, then that this preserves relationships and it preserves community. But Allah is the Mannan. And this is Sifa Mubalagha, as they tend to be, these great names of Allah. This is one of the forms that is an emphatic form. Fa'al, Mannan. And He is the giver of gifts, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who constantly bestows gifts on His creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who is that always showing His favor to His servants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He is the one that we really need to be thanking. And then we thank creation because He's commanded us to do so, tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah is the unique, and He's the Mannan. And He's also Al-Azim Al-Ihsan. And so that here, that you could just roughly translate this, that He translates it well here, the tremendously beneficent. And that أحسن يحسن إحسانا is on the form أفعل يفعل إفعالا, and it comes from حسن يحسن, which is to be beautiful and to be good. And so Allah تبارك وتعالى is that the true shower of إحسان, and any إحسان that we have is ultimately from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then He recompenses any إحسان with إحسان. And Allah Ta'ala is the tremendously beneficent. So He doesn't just show ihsan. His ihsan is azim. And ihsan, when it comes to Allah's creation, there's degrees. There's a basic level, okay, that's legitimately considered to be ihsan. And then there's a higher degree and a higher degree and a high, to no end. There's no degree to which that we can show of ihsan. And that it really is only that the just as there's no degree to which how strong our faith can become, and there's no degree to which that our Islam could stop. So the deeper that your Iman gets, is that the greater the potential that your Islam will also deepen, and the greater the potential that your Ihsan will also deepen. So He is the tremendously beneficent. And if you really think about it, that what do we do to be created? Absolutely nothing. Is that this that beautiful poem of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Habib, and that خلقتني مسلما ولولا يعني that فضلك لم أعرف النبي, that you created me that Muslim, and were it not to be for your bounty, I would not have known the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another line, وكنت لي قبل والدي, right, is that that you were there for me before my parents even. Is that Allah Ta'ala brought us into existence and we did nothing to deserve it. And then He takes care of us and He that keeps giving to us and keeps giving to us subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we, when you have ever been around a person of ihsan, is that it's very difficult to not love a person of ihsan. You will love them, because that we are people that are biologically wired to love people who do good things for us. And when someone's going out of their way to take care of you and to do good things for you and to that help you in all of these different things, you obviously will come to love that person. Then what then about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that all of what we experience from the divine favor. So He is Al-Azim Al-Ihsan. Now one of the names of Allah is Al-Azim, but here is it corresponds to this great attribute of Allah of being tremendously beneficent. And then He is Al-Muttafaddil. Al-Muttafaddil with what? Bil-Lutfi wa Tawfiq. And so if someone tafaddal, not in the sense of like tafaddal, yani udkhul, right, come, enter into my presence. Here, that in the sense of tafaddala alayh, is that he bestowed something upon me. And here is that there's a particular type of tafaddal that Habib Abdul Rahman bin Abdul Bilfaqih is speaking of, that al-mutafaddal bil-lutfi wa tawfiq. So that lutf is gentleness. And one of the names of Allah is Al-Latif. And the name of Allah, Al-Latif, combines the meaning of subtle knowledge, and it combines the meaning of knowledge, that of giving gifts, and subtlety. So there's a number of different ways that you'll find the name of Allah, Al-Latif, translated, but it combines those three meanings. And so sometimes you'll see it translated as the benevolent, and that's a valid translation. Sometimes you'll see it translated as the subtly benevolent, and that's just an additional adjective to describe it. Sometimes you'll see it described as the gentle or the subtly gentle, but really it's all three of those meanings of knowledge, that gifts, and subtlety. So He's Al-Latif. And He is Al-Mutafaddal bil-Lutf, and through His the bestower of gentleness, and the one who enables those who He wishes. So what tawfiq? That this word is a very, very important word. And it's one of these words that seems to just have to enter into English. Because no matter how you translate it, yes, some contexts you translate it as success. In other contexts you might translate it as enabling grace. Right? But even that's such a fancy that translation that it almost sounds off even when you say it in English. And I guess someone might know what you mean if you say enabling grace, but they also might think that you're talking about amazing grace or something else. But anyhow, tawfiq is one of those words you have to just kind of know what it means in Arabic and really stick to the Arabic original. But it's a very, very important word, and with this meaning that he is referring to here, that it only appears once in the Quran. No. They indicate is that this is due to the nobility of this reality and the rarity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And that my tawfiq is only through Allah. And when it comes at another time in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiqa, it has the meaning of reconciliation, not the meaning of that tawfiq as is meant here. And that the general definition that the ulama give is that what is tawfiq? It's khalqu qudratil abd, khalqu Allah qudratil abd, qudratil ta'a fil abd. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating the ability for Allah to add a servant to worship Him and to obey Him. And Allah Ta'ala facilitating that for him, enabling him to do so. And tawfiq is what we want to ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for. If someone is muwaffaq, khalas, you don't worry about that. If someone is muwaffaq, khalas, you say that person is muwaffaq, subhanAllah. Allah just gave him tawfiq. Allah opened up the doors for that person to that benefit and to that ascend spiritually and so forth. And this was the dua that Marwa bint al-Harith, rahimahullah, used to make pretty much every time he left his presence. He would make dua for tawfiq and afiyah. He would say that all the time. Short, to the point, tawfiq and afiyah. Tawfiq and afiyah. And afiyah is well-being. So tawfiq and afiyah. These are two of the great things that we can ask for. So that Allah Ta'ala is the one, is that He bestowed on His creation that through His divine gentleness and His divine that enabling, the ability for the creation to that attain all of these things that He's now going to speak about. So al-muttafadla bil-lutfi wa tawfiqi lil-islam. So it was only because of His tafaddul, His bestowing upon us, which has come through His divine generosity and subtlety, generosity, and has come through His enabling grace, that has allowed us to experience anything of the reality of Islam, Iman, Ihsan. Those terms I think we all know, and previously that we've discussed, so we won't go into too much detail there. But then he adds others. Is that Irfan? And Irfan is gnosis, ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Irfan is just another way of saying ma'rifah. And then al-irshad, which is guidance, and bayan, which is clarification. And that were not to be for these realities, and Allah Ta'ala enabling us to come to know them, we would be cut off from them. So what a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so is everyone good to there? Now, I know normally we don't ever do questions during, but feel free. This is supposed to be a very relaxed that session that is catered to all of us present here. So if you have any questions about any of the words or any closely related question to the meanings that we're discussing, feel free at any time. Just to raise your hand, and if you have any need for clarification or you want to share something that you also know with everyone here, that's most welcomed. Ahlan wa sahlan.
Can you repeat the definition of tawfiq? Khalq Allah qudrat al-abd.
Naam. Khalq Allah that qudrat ta'a fi al-abd. No. And the opposite of tawfiq is khudlan. Right, the Arabs will say khadalahu. Right, he just abandoned him into neglected him. Khadalahu. And it has in the sense of like, especially when like someone needs you, khadalahu. You just abandon him and let him waste away. Okay, marhaba.
Don't answer this if it's getting off track, but so how do we know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to someone? Is it in their obedience? Like how would you be sure that one's not being abandoned?
Absolutely. It's important for us now to understand the importance of obedience of Allah. And sometimes, because of the way that some people present a view of Islam as solely rule-based, is that the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of like obedience might be some of that kind of even pushes us away. And we really have to deal with that, because while at the same time we have to not present this deen solely as a set of rules, we have to present it in all of its dimensions. At the same time that we have to recognize the importance of obedience. And is that this is really that why the heavens and the earth was created, right? Was so that human beings can have the ability to freely choose to obey Allah. And then in doing so, and this is a type of worship, of course, we can come to know Him. So the whole point of obedience is not conformity for the sake of conformity. The whole point of ta'a, of obedience, is so that we can come to know Allah. And so the greatest sign of tawfiq is how close you and I are to the obedience of Allah. How close we are into putting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's awamr, His commandments into practice, and how distant we are from that His nawahi, His prohibitions. And that the more that is facilitated for us at the level of belief and at the level of practice and at the level of character, is that the greater portion that we have of tawfiq. And so it's actually a fairly easy criterion. How close are we to obedience? And that most importantly, that take place in the heart level. Even if we fall short outwardly, that a healthy heart, even if they fall short outwardly, will not feel comfortable with what it is that they did. And that's a healthy feeling. And that's a feeling that stems from iman. And then there's degrees of tawfiq, of course. And a common dua, a common prayer of the righteous is, Allahumma waffiqna tawfiq as-salihin. Right? Or Allahumma waffiqhu, if you're speaking, making a dua for someone else. That, O Allah, that grant us the tawfiq of the salihin. So not just that we have a general tawfiq, that we want the tawfiq of the salihin. Yeah. So then he goes on to that further, that say, ba'ith al-rusuli. So alhamdulillah, so that entire sentence from al-wahid till wal-bayan, all of that was a clarification of that, how, what it is that we attribute to Allah and describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he also says, ba'ith al-rusul. So this is where Arabic grammar comes in. Like, how do you know it's ba'ith al-rusul as opposed to ba'ith al-rusul? Right? Because here, that it goes back to alhamdulillah. Okay? So it's also a nat of Allah. It's a further description of our Lord. That He is the ba'ith al-rusul. That He translates here as that. So in English, there's a period, and then it starts with a capital I, it. But in Arabic, the sentence can just go on, and there's no punctuation. And as we were reading today earlier, it's actually better in most books not to look at the Arabic punctuation, or the English-sized, Arabicized English punctuation, because it will throw you off. And oftentimes it's simply wrong. Where it's actually not where it's supposed to be. Here, it seems to be okay, for at least so far, but I wouldn't look at the punctuation. So, period, it is He who sent the messengers. Ba'atha yab'athu is to send, it's to dispatch. And this is where we get the word for the resurrection. The ba'th is the resurrection. Inna Allah yab'athu man fil qubur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect those who are in their graves. And so that the ba'ith is also that this urge that is the beginning of the spiritual path. The entire spiritual path, if you trace it back to its very, very beginning, that it begins with a ba'ith. Right? And it's translated roughly as a powerful urge. And sometimes it could be from fear, sometimes it could be from hope, sometimes it could be from longing or love, sometimes it could be from a major event that someone happens in someone's life. There's a lot of sources for it, but Imam al-Haddad wrote a whole book about this ba'ith called Adab Suluk al-Murid, and it's translated as Good Manners. The whole book centers around that, where he says this is the beginning of the spiritual path, and then he tells you how to receive it, and then what to do once it's received. And it's an incredible book that is very, very important. But this is how it begins. And if you, that the vast majority of people that converted, is that most of their stories center around this. Somehow they were compelled to search for something, to look for something. There was something that they felt uneasy about. There's something they didn't feel comfortable with. There's something that they didn't have that they wanted, and that they then searched for it. And so that you could refer to this in terms of the source of iman, just as you could refer to it specifically as the source of the spiritual path. But here, the ba'ith, this refers to Allah. He is the one who sends, the sender, the one who dispatches, Rusul, the plural of Rusul, which are the messengers, salawatullahi alayhim. And then of course that we refer to them with the utmost respect, salawatullahi alayhim, which literally means the prayers of Allah upon them. And when we talk about prayer from Allah, is that it's rahmah, a special rahmah and mercy that Allah Ta'ala bestows upon His messengers. Salawatullahi alayhim. So ba'ith al-rusli, He is the one who sent the messengers with what? Bit-tahqiqi wal-furqan. That all of the words of Abd al-Rahman bin Abdullah bin Faqih are precise and carefully chosen. So he was just speaking about Allah was the reality is that any experience that we have of Iman, Islam, Ihsan or anything else he mentioned, Allah is the mutafaddal. It comes from Allah. But He is also the one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the realm of means. He's the one who sent the messengers with tahqiqi wal furqan, with realization and discernment. So that haqq is truth. And haqqaka yuhaqqiku, that literally means to that make that truth a part of yourself, to realize the truth. Realization, tahqiq is realization. So why did he mention that? Is that so that Islam, Iman and Ihsan doesn't remain some abstract idea that we have no true idea about. No, the messengers came that with a way that through following them, you will realize those realities. So this is the whole purpose of the messengers, in other words, is tahqiq. Is it so that we can realize our Islam, our Iman, and our Ihsan, and our Irfan, and so forth. That's the whole purpose Allah sent them. Everything about their teachings encourages us to do that. But then also, when Furqan, he translates it here as discernment, which is a good translation. And the idea of Furqan, farq, is that a difference. مَا الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. What is the difference between this or that? And that a fariq is a team. So you have one team on one side, and you have another team on the other. And normally when we think of the word team now, we think of soccer teams and football teams, but that the real fariq is فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ نَسَى اللَّهُ السَّلَامُ وَالْعَافِيَةِ. Right, there's going to be one group, I wouldn't translate it here as team, right, in paradise, and the other one, Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam al-afiyah, in the fire. So that it's also that differentiation, okay? And that the idea of Furqan here really is that the messengers came with a criterion whereby which truth can be distinguished from falsehood. Truth can be differentiated from falsehood. Truth can be discerned from falsehood. So they came with a way that there was a furqan. But then, he's going to further that describe Allah as the following. وَمُخَصِّصٍ مُصْطَفَى is that Allah is the one who singled out al-Mustafa. That's our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chosen one. Istafa, yastafi, is to choose. It's to choose the safwa. It's to choose what is best. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has many names that indicate that he was chosen by Allah. Al-Mustafa is one of them. Al-Mujtaba is another. Al-Mukhtar is also one of those names. Is that he has many names like this sallallahu alaihi wasallam that indicate that Allah Ta'ala singled him out. وَمُخَصِّصٍ in Mustafa. خَصَّصَ يُخَصِّصُ is to give someone a خَاصِيَّة, which is a special trait or a special characteristic. And the خَاصِيَّة are the خَوَاس of something, or that everything in creation has certain properties. And why does a magnet attract, for instance? Why does this particular herb heal this particular disease? Why is this particular element useful in this particular way? Everything has a خَاصِيَّة. Everything has special. Is that you that have certain elements that you build things with. You have other elements that you that plant things in. Everything has a khasiyah. And this is from his creation. But of all of the special traits that he gave to creation, and everything that he distinguished that these things in creation from, no one was singled out like our Prophet ﷺ with the greatest of possible that special traits that someone could have. He is the mukhassis of Mustafa ﷺ, min bainihim, from among who, bainihim here, whom refers to who? For those that are in Arabic class? Ar-Rusul. So he's the one who singled out that, and Mustafa, that from among all of the other messengers, with what? بِالدَّعْوَةِ الْجَامِعَةِ لِكُلِّ دَعْوَةٍ وَبَيَانٍ Allahu Akbar. That he who singled out the chosen one from amongst them to receive the call that encompasses every call in clarification. So what is he saying here? And the thing is, we believe this, but we only believe this with iman, because we don't have the details of the ways of all of the messengers who preceded us. We don't know everything about all of their religions. We would never truly be able to understand the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and what he's been given by Allah, that we would only truly understand that when we understood everything about what they were being given to. And to see how our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been selected, is that among all of them, ad-da'watul jami'ah, right? He has been given the comprehensive call. Okay? And when we use this word da'wah, I'm going to repeat this until you're like, please stop saying that, right? But it's really important. There are certain groups that use these words, and then it comes fixated in someone's mind that this is what da'wah means. This is what sharia means. This is what ta'ah means. And we have to recapture our sacred vocabulary. That the word da'wah is nothing but positive. Our Prophet called to whom? Allah. When were we talking about that? We were talking about that some other time. When were we talking about that? Wada'iyan ila Allah in the khutbah last Friday. Wada'iyan ila, or when was that? Anyhow. Wada'iyan ila Allah. Our Prophet did not call to himself for anything in creation. His call was to Allah. Kul hadhihi sabili ad'u ila Allah. I call to Allah. And there's nothing greater to call to than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his da'wah, his call, which is essentially to nothing of this world. Rather, he called us to that live in this world as a stranger or as a wayfarer, someone who's just passing by. So the call is to the hereafter. And what's the whole purpose of being in the hereafter? Is to know Allah. This is the call. So it's a da'wah jami'ah. It is a comprehensive call. It is a universal call. You could even translate jamia here as universal. It's a universal call. And because it relates to every single human being on the face of this earth, and every that every inch and corner of the earth from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until now. It is a da'wah jamia. He is the only universal Prophet ﷺ, and his da'wah is jamia. And jamia for what? لِكُلِّ دَعْوَةٍ وَبَيَانٍ is that it encompasses every call in clarification. So every prophet and every messenger that was sent to their people, and the way that they approached them, and the way that they addressed them, and the nature of their sharia, and how it fit their people that they were specifically sent to, is that the Prophet ﷺ is that his way encompasses all of those ways. And that his bayan, the Prophet's clarification, is that clarifies that universally, that all of those individual ways that those prophets clarified the way to Allah to their people. And it is that one droplet in the ocean of this meaning is that you will find in the books of the scholars of Tasawwuf, they say, is that the number of paths to Allah are the number of breaths of creation. In other words, is that what a blessing? Is that everyone ultimately, like we have a unique thumbprint, is that everyone ultimately has a unique path. What the great imams of the well-known spiritual paths did is that they formalized that general ways of traveling the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for people that came after them and were in their barakah and khalas. But the reality is, even if we are a part of a specific spiritual path, is that everyone will subjectively, or rather a better word to use is individually, relate to that specific path. And so what's important is for you and I to figure out what is our path to Allah. That what is going to be the means for you and I to come to Allah. And it's actually not that hard to determine. You just have to look at your circumstances. And you have to combine with that, that looking at your own, that God-given gifts, and seeing how that you can use those for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, is that it will come clear to you that how you specifically relate in that way. So our Prophet has been singled out, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a comprehensive da'wah. But do we realize the implications of this? How is it that you could have people 1400 years later, raised in the United States of America, find everything that they're looking for in this deen, and then everything that they were looking for compared to that what really exists out there for them to know is a drop in the ocean? They were given everything they want, and then open up to a world of things that they didn't even know that they wanted or should want. And then khalas, it never ends. Is that the doors that keep opening up from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So لِكُلِ دَعْوَةٍ وَبَيَانٍ أَوَّلٍ وَآخِرٍ ظَاهِرٍ وَبَاطِنٍ فِي جَنِئِ الشَّانِ. And we will stop on this point, and in the future we're probably not going to go into this much detail, but just we wanted to start in this way. From the first to the last, inwardly and outwardly, in every affair. So you could understand this أَوَّلٍ وَآخِرًا in a number of different ways, from the beginning of the path to the end of the path, from in a time-related way, in terms of that the first of the time, that to the end of the time. So you can understand this awwal and akhiran from beginning to end in different ways, and then outward, inwardly and outwardly, that's clear. Everything that we need, inwardly and outwardly, this perfect balance between the two. Wafi jami' ash-shan. And in relation to every single affair, there is absolutely nothing that we could potentially do except that not only has a hukum, it has a legal ruling, it has a judgment that it can be given, and that there's elements, there's an aspect of guidance from our deen that tells us what to do in that situation. That not just in the, from the standpoint of law, but from how to approach it from the standpoint of belief, that what is the best of the two options, how to understand it in relation to our own self, other people, how to understand it in relation to the past, present, and future, and everything else. We have no idea. We're so immersed in the blessings of the deen of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have absolutely no idea what it is that we have. And all we can just do is that when we start to read books like this that start the process of beginning to unlock the door where we peek through and we start to see the incredible vistas that are out there, is just thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he began with Alhamdulillah, and ultimately he's thanking Allah ta'ala for this specific blessing that he chose our Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, this way that was for all people in all times, and that everyone can find a way to Allah ta'ala through the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala that open up the meanings of this book to us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs, and we come to love Him and praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may we continue to receive His ihsan and continue to receive His tafaddal alayna ya arhamar rahimin. May He give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs and bless us ya arhamar rahimin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Al-Fatiha ila hadratin.